During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, September 23rd, 2021. We have Buster Olney from ESPN, and for some reason, Jake is laughing hysterically. Buster, whatever you said to Jake, boy, he liked a lot. You've entertained him for the 7 o'clock hour. What's up, Buster?
Yeah, I have breaking news. My sources have told me from inside the Royals clubhouse that if the Royals go into the last game with 4 wins and 5 losses, with a chance to go 5-5 down the stretch and make good on Jake's over-under bet and go over 73.5, Jake is going to be the guy speaking to the players before the game.
I hope
because
so.
Let's face it, last day of the regular season in baseball, players usually are like ready to go. They got stuff packed. They're ready to go home in the offseason. Jake will be standing in the middle of the room screaming at the players, "Let's go! You got this! Come on!"
Let me tell you something, and I don't think Jake will disagree too much. Normally, at this point, baseball Jake has shut down, and it's 100% football Jake, unless of course the Royals are headed to the playoffs like in 14 or 15. But this guy, Salvador Perez, first of all, single handedly is keeping some people that would be done with baseball at this point engaged with the Royals because of him just finally breaking Johnny Bench's record and battling Guerrero and Otani for the home run title and chasing Jorge Soler's team record of 48. So we're all on the Salvi watch. But yes, Jake and his pursuit of 73.5 has really captured the imagination of this radio show. And when we presented all they got to do is go 5-5. And so that's, and Buster, you're the insider, you're the expert. Do the Royals get 5 more wins and allow Jake to count his winnings?
Wow.
What do you think?
I say yes.
Wow.
Because I think having a player who's chasing numbers like Salvi is important because you want to keep engaged. Because let's face it, you and I have seen teams that down the players are ready to go. Like they're kind of checked out to some degree. But in this case, with Salvi coming up with big numbers, every game, everyone's locked in. You know Salvi right now is locking in on the number 5-0, which would be pretty incredible. He is, and I don't know if you saw this, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. sat down with our Marley Rivera and did an interview, and he talked about the MVP race, which generally speaking, people like me have talked about Shohei Ohtani being the front runner and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being number two. I love that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. involved Salvador Perez in that conversation.
That's right.
And so, he's locked in. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to that they will get to 74 and they will go over for Jake.
And Buster, I don't know if you had a chance to see.
No way that's happening, by the way.
Oh, boy. Nate is rooting so heavily against Jake.
I want the Royals to go 10-0, but what's going to happen, Buster, is they're going to go 4-5, like you said. And Jake's going to be all wound up on that last Sunday of the year.
He said he's going out
he's
there.
He's going out
and
there.
And this game will be taking place in the middle of the Chiefs and Eagles game.
Yeah.
This guy's going to turn a blind eye to the Chiefs and go out there and root on Salvi, but more importantly, root on his prop bet. So this guy's losing his mind. Everything that we've ever learned about Jake is going out the window because of this damn prop bet.
They're going to lose in a heartbreaking fashion at the very end of the game and rip Jake's heart out. That's how the world works, Buster.
The broadcast will look like this, okay? Because Salvi will go into that last day with 49 homers. And Mike Swanson, great media relations director for the Royals, will be, this will be the swan song for him. There'll be so much focus on the broadcast in theory about those two events on that last day of the regular season. But no, the focus, because Jake's going to be behind home plate, just screaming at the player.
Right.
Let's go!
Oh, yeah.
Come on!
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like where Marlins fans typically is for some of the game broadcasts across America. Jake will dominate the screen. And like, there'll be kind of a sleepy last Sunday, But Jake will not allow it to be a sweep last Sunday because of the prop bet.
It won't be Marlon. It'll be gambling man sitting behind home plate screaming at players as they try to finish out the season. Buster, did you get a chance to see this conference call, this video conference call that was set up between Johnny Bench and Salvador Perez, and Johnny Bench congratulating Salvi? And Salvi, I mean, just like a big kid, you could see what it meant to him to have Johnny Bench tell him, you know, now go win the home run record and talk about how much respect he has for his reputation and his personality and his approach to playing baseball. We played it earlier on the show, it was about 3 or 4 minutes. It made us so happy. And we grew to love Johnny Bench's kids when he was host of the Baseball Bunch. And, you know, everyone's dads and grandfathers always telling everyone how, telling their kids Johnny Bench is the greatest catcher of all time. And so it was just so cool that they set that up and that Johnny Bench is embracing this and took time to congratulate Salvador Perez and had that conversation with him. That was really cool, Buster.
I did not see it. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Now, I was not aware of that, but it doesn't surprise me because among, you know, former players, let's face it, a lot of them, as time goes on, they are less connected to the sport. They don't really have an awareness of present-day players. Yeah, I mean, shoot, you hear that in broadcasters sometimes where it's their profession and they kind of lose track with the, you know, who's on the field and what they do. Johnny Bench is on the opposite extreme. He is so invested in current players. You know, when I've had conversations with him, you know, on the podcast that I do, he knows everything about everybody. He's watching every day. It's pretty clear. When I covered the Yankees, Yogi Berra was the same way. It was really interesting because Yogi would come into the Yankees clubhouse and, you know, he'd walk up and you'd start talking. I never forget when Carlos Santana was a rookie. It was Yogi Berra came up to me and said, have you seen Santana catch? Santana looks like he's going to be a good player for a long time. Johnny Bench is the same way, so it doesn't surprise me that he's doing this. And I find it really cool that, you know, he's happy that Salvador Perez broke his record. I mean, shoot, every year we've had this conversation about the Miami Dolphins players, you know, opening up a champagne because when the last team to have an opportunity to break their perfect season record, it doesn't happen. They all celebrate. Now, Johnny Bench is happy that Salvador Perez broke his record, which is really cool.
Buster, I just slid into your DMs. I sent you the video so you could watch that, and I'm sure
I'm going to run it on the podcast today.
That's
Thank
right.
you for sending it.
It's so awesome, and you're right, because we got a kick out of that. The Johnny embraced that, and he was legitimately happy for Salvi and for breaking that record, and you could see what it meant to Salvi. And then he invited Johnny Bench to come to Kansas City so they could honor his career. And it was just a great feel-good moment for all the baseball fans in Kansas City to see Salvi getting congratulated by Johnny Bench. All right, let's move on and talk about some other things going on in baseball. And boy, have I been excited to talk to you about this. Try to walk me through this. So on Monday, Kevin Kiermaier of the Tampa Bay Rays. There you go. See that? Picked up a card with the Blue Jays game plan, and the Rays reportedly refused to give it back. And so then yesterday, the Jays retaliated and hit Kiermaier with a pitch, and then the bench is cleared. What the hell is going on? And this is two of the best teams in the American League right now. Turn into two teams of red asses getting after it. What's your reaction to what was going on? What's been going on between the Rays and the Blue Jays?
I thought it was really stupid. what happened yesterday with the Blue Jays throwing at Kevin Kiermaier. And look, we've talked about how the Blue Jays are this phenomenal team. I think they're the most dangerous team in the American League playoff field, the team nobody wants to play. They've had this great run. They get the best record in baseball in the month of September, 16-5 record. And that's part of the reason why I thought this was stupid. Kiermaier, you know, in picking up that card the other day, as he explained, you know, as he comes running, 270 feet around the bases, he slides into home, he's tagged out, and he's getting up out of the dirt, and there's something lying in the dirt. And he thought it was his card, like it was in his pocket. He picked it up. And even if you don't want to take that at face value, it's pretty clear that this is not a moment where you have a lot of reflection and a lot of precedent on how to react. Even if he did think it was the card that belonged to the Blue Jays, he picked it up and he walked back to the dugout, and then you know, it's determined that it was the card that was on the person of the Blue Jays catcher Alejandro Kirk. And so there were phone calls between the two managers, and Charlie Montoyo, the manager of the Blue Jays, actually told reporters, look, this is water under the bridge. We moved on past this. No, it's not a big deal anymore. So you thought it was over. But then it was clear that, they drilled Kiermaier in the back. And you guys know, I've been on with you before. I always thought that the whole practice of throwing at hitters because you're mad at them is really stupid at its heart. And it's really kind of gutless. If the Blue Jays players had a problem with Kiermaier picking up the card or anything he said afterward, then you know what? Call him over during batting practice behind the cage. Have a conversation with him. Kevin Kiermaier's a great dude. And just talk it out as opposed to waiting until the last at-bat that he has in the series and throwing a ball in the middle of his back. There's nothing to me more gutless than that because, like, he's a prone target. He can't defend himself. You know, he clearly was not happy about it. The members of the Tampa Bay Rays after the game talked about how, I think Kiermaier's word, it was weak. Their second baseman, their manager talked about, you know, it was kind of silly. And here's the thing, too, is that, and it just is stupid, next spring, I think when the Tampa Bay Rays play the Blue Jays, there probably is going to be a moment when Vlad Jr. is standing in the box and he's going to get drilled because of what happened yesterday. Just as stupid. It's just a dumb, ridiculous practice. Why don't you be grown-ups and go over and talk to Kevin Kiermaier about picking up the defensive card?
So I can't remember who it was, and maybe, Stephen, you can remember. I know we've had a conversation with a former NFL player one time who told us about being in a meeting room in which, like, the opposing team had left one of their playbooks. And it was like this, wow, this is a gift. You know, I can't believe this, you know, we have this. And they got to go through the whole thing. And there was this kind of discussion about, do we make the most of this? Do we owe it to the other team to give it back to them? You know, and it was kind of like, hey, man, this is your playbook, and you were sloppy with it. Your problem, yep. Not ours. So what about, I guess every sport has its own, and we know baseball has their unwritten rules. Should Kiermaier have given this thing back? Does he owe that to the other team? Or is it, hey, man, you left your scouting report on the field and I grabbed it. It's fair game.
That's what I think. Personally, yeah, that, you know, the players are responsible for their cards. I thought of it in this context. Every game, you guys know this because there were guys on the Royals through the years who were really good at picking up when opposing pitchers are tipping pitches. If they see that, let's say that, you know, the pitcher on the mound wiggles his glove, are the Royals players obligated to yell out, hey, we can tell when you're throwing your fastball. Don't wiggle your glove. Of course they're not going to do that. And also, I don't know what the information on that card was. Maybe it was signed. You know, a sign sequencing? Well, change the sign sequencing if you don't like the fact that the other team got the card. Or, something else. We're at the end of September, right? I think Kevin Kiermaier and the Rays at this point have an idea of how they're going to be pitched. Right? That's been fairly well established. And, yeah, protect your own information. And if you don't like it, then, talk to them after the fact. There was a conversation between the managers, and apparently Charlie Montoyo, the Blue Jays manager, was satisfied. And we don't know if it was just the pitcher who threw the ball yesterday. Was he, you know, did he do it on his own? Were there other players involved? But you could tell after it happened, Kiermaier's walking toward first base, and the benches begin to empty, the slowest bench emptying situation we've ever seen, which tells you that the players on both sides were like, really? Like, we got to walk out there. This is what where we are right now. It was, as baseball fights go, which are generally lame, it wasn't even a fight. They didn't even empty the benches with enthusiasm. So I think a lot of players thought it was stupid as well.
Buster Olney is our guest. Buster, you said the last couple of weeks that maybe the Blue Jays right now are the best team in the American League. What do you think of what the Cardinals are doing right now. They won their 11th in a row yesterday, and I know that Arenado had to leave with a back issue, but they are getting Jack Flaherty back, I think, tomorrow, even though he's not going to be stretched out to start five or six innings. I think they're going to use him as an opener initially, but that's still a hell of a weapon to have going into the postseason. It looks like they're pretty close to having that second wild card spot locked up. I mean, a month and a half ago, it looked like they weren't even going to make the playoffs, and right now they're heading towards the postseason with a full head of steam. How good is St. Louis?
Their lead this morning over the Reds is 4.5 games. The lead over the Phillies is 4.5 games. Their lead over the Padres is 6 games. So it's pretty much a done deal that the Cardinals are going to be the second wild card team. And guys, you know, every year we see some athletes stand up and say, "No one believed in us, you know, except for us. We believed in ourselves." This might be the first time where I feel that's legitimate. Because I don't know about you guys, I completely dismissed the Cardinals midway through August.
Yep,
we saw them play all year. They were just the same team, just kind of slogging along. Not really, you know, lose two, win two, lose one, win one. Just completely uninspiring. Kind of a boring team. Let's face it. And then all of a sudden, they turned it around. They played great. Paul Goldschmidt's been unbelievable down the stretch. And so, you know, if the Cardinals wind up clinching this thing, and Paul Goldschmidt stands up on the podium and he says, "No one believed in us," I'll be like, "Yep, you're exactly right." I don't think anybody in baseball saw this coming by the St. Louis Cardinals. So tip of the cap to them for how they play down the stretch. And I got to say, at this moment, you know, the Dodgers are 2 games behind the Giants in the National League West. At this moment, we'd have the Dodgers against the Cardinals in the wild card game.
Wow.
Adam Wainwright probably pitching against Max Scherzer,
yes,
going
please.
Against the team that he rooted for as a kid. I would love to see that game because nobody right now is pitching better than Wainwright in terms of sort of exposing the adrenaline in opposing hitters and using that against them. That would be a blast. That game would be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and a one-off, too, so every single pitch matters so much. Oh, that'd be incredible. We're still, I think, baffled. It's not hard to see why the Dodgers have the record they have with the players they have and the money they've spent and all of that. I don't know about you, Buster. I've been waiting for the Giants to fall behind them all year long, and they just haven't done it. Doesn't matter what the run differential is. They just keep holding the Dodgers off. If they can do it for 10 more days, we'll see. But how have the Giants done this?
Well, first off, Farhan Zaidi, who came to the Giants from the Dodgers, is basically putting in the Dodgers system of identifying value in, you know, second-tier players, third-tier players, and creating these great matchup potential, this great matchup potential for manager Gabe Kapler, I think is going to wind up being the National League Manager of the Year. He should be, because nobody thought the Giants were going to be in the postseason. And now it looks like there's a chance they're going to finish with the best record and maybe win like 103, 104 games. But also at the root of that is these unexpected performances by these legacy Giants. You know, guys who were on those championship teams in 2010, 2012, 2014. A lot of people in the industry thought that Buster Posey was done. But after basically what was 2 years off after having hip surgery, I mean, shoot, he threw out a 4-hit game last night. He was great. Brandon Crawford is probably going to be somewhere in the 6 to 10 spots on a lot of MVP ballots. He's been terrific. He just got a 2-year extension from the Giants. And Brandon Belt's been great. So those guys have all bounced back in a way that nobody expected.
As for the other races, Buster, really the one that's most compelling, the only one that's really compelling as far as divisional races besides the NL West is the NL East. Do you think the Phillies have any hope of catching the Atlanta Braves?
I do, because it's funny. I talked to someone with the Braves the other day, and I asked this person, "Hey, how gratifying will it be for you guys if you wind up winning the division after all these issues you've had, losing Ronald Acuna Jr. to knee injury, Marcell Ozuna domestic violence situation? He has not been available to them. Travis d'Arnaud major injury. Mike Soroka, how gratifying will it be for you?" And he dismissed the question right off the bat. He said, "No, we got a long ways to go. they're not, you know, not a perfect team. I think the Braves will hold on. You know, they have a three-game lead over the Phillies, who've been coming on like gangbusters. Right now, Bryce Harper, clearly the front runner for the National League MVP. But I think it's far from a done deal, because if the Braves are not a perfect team, and let's face it, if they wind up going to the postseason, I don't think anybody will pick them. Not when you've got teams like the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Brewers, as dynamic as they are.
Who you mentioned the pitching matchup we could see in the NL wild card. Max Scherzer has been pretty much unhittable since he's gone to the Dodgers. If you had to cast your vote right now for NL Cy Young, who would it be?
It would be Max Scherzer.
That's right.
And that one's gone back and forth. They're close enough where, you know, a great performance by one, either Corbin Burns, you know, the Brewers, or Scherzer at this point probably would wrap it up, or a really bad performance by one of those guys could change things. Like the other day, Gerrit Cole was probably in the top two for American League Cy Young Award. He had a terrible performance, which drove his earned run average to 0.4 of a run behind Robbie Ray of the Jays. And I think right now, Robbie Ray, that's probably going to be the difference. You know, that could happen, but I think right now, the way Max Scherzer's pitched and established himself as maybe the greatest trade deadline acquisition in the history of baseball, that'll make him a front runner. And I say this as someone, you know, who's a writer and who writes narratives. Writers love narratives. And Max Scherzer being that guy at age 37 is probably going to put him over the top.
Buster Olney has been our guest. Buster, thank you so much for talking baseball with us. And remember, keep your eyes on the Royals and see if they can get to that magic number of five that's been set right now by Jake Gutierrez. It's going to be a nervous week and a half for Jake, but I know that next week maybe you can talk him through it.
Believe me, I'm going to be locked in on the Royals' success or failure
right
down the stretch more than I am the American League wildcard race.
See, that's right. Not just for Salvi, but for Jake. It's big moments ahead for Royals fans everywhere, Buster. Thank you for the time.
See you guys.
It's a Buster Olney. So I need to lock you in on this.
Lock me in.
If you have a chance to win the prop bet, and Salvi is right there with what, you know, he's neck and neck for the home run race, or he's needs one to tie Soler, or he's tied with Soler, or whatever, are you going to go to the game, the final game of the year, turn your back on the Chiefs and Eagles, and go out to Kauffman Stadium? I need to know.
Yeah, I'll live Instagram this thing or something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We got to get. We need to pull strings. We need to get him behind home plate is what we need to do. I feel like we need to see his live reaction on
that.
TV. We got
to
make some. We got
to
make something.
Take
happen.
That big head Salvi that we have in
sure.
the office. Take that out there.
Get out there and root him on. You might be the difference that Salvi needs to.
That's right.
To energize him in that final game.
Get to 50. Well, I just worry about him getting to 49.
And what time's the game start?
2:05.
And what time's the Chiefs?
Noon.
Ooh.
Maybe the Chiefs will have it put away by then.
I don't know.
What time? I wonder what time do the gates open an hour and a half before a Royals game? So you get there early. If you get those suite tickets, you can watch Chiefs game down in the suite and then walk
theoretically,
out
that's great, but are you saying that you can secure a suite for him?
Fork that over.
Oh, come on. We got listeners. We got big-time listeners.
Do we?
Oh, yeah.
Who are they?
Hello?
Well, people that bought all those tickets to the Boddicker Foundation.
Oh, that's great.
We got listeners with deep pockets, buddy.
We're just trying to get you. Yeah, where are you getting all this from?
I'm just telling you. Yeah. I've done research.
Have you? I'd like to see some more of this research.
Yeah, I'd like to see the data.
That's confidential. Confidential research.
I need to see the data.
If you're a listener out there with deep pockets and you want to get Jake a suite ticket for the last game of the regular season, you know, hit Jake up.
You already got a suite. You want him in. He'll entertain.
He'll
come in there and
do a song and dance.
Talk a little gambling, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
He'll wear
some,
you know, colored sunglasses.
I'll lay some wagers down
it's
for
a Sunday.
You on
he'll
my
give
behalf.
You a, he'll give you a fantasy football report, something. He's got some things to offer. He's got a lot of things.
The
offer.
The offer's going to come rolling in here, Jake. You just wait.
You know.
Oh, now Sal knows how to get to me. Sal's a smart guy.
What's that mean? What do you know how to get to you? Did he offer you something?
I mean, he He did the old Bob.
Oh, he knows how to motivate Jake.
What's he does say? The old Bob Gutierrez.
I don't think Jake will do it.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Look, listen. I'm
the
not
old Bob. We call
don't
that
take this the wrong way, but I kind of agree with Taco. That's why I don't think you're going to walk away from NFL Sunday. I think it'll be more difficult than you anticipate, because you're talking. You're going to be leaving or driving out there during the Chiefs Eagles game.
My father figured that out at a very young age, how to motivate his son.
Right.
His middle son. His other two sons they were well behaved boys.
They don't need motivation.
No, they would ask him to
self starters.
Dusty, clean your room, please, and Dusty would clean his room, and Bob would have to walk in. I don't think there's any chance you can clean this room. There's no chance you can do it, Jake. Oh yeah? Oh yeah, watch.
Just to prove him wrong, you clean that room.
Showed him.
Yeah.
We will.
Why don't you show Sal that you really mean business? Right. Give yourself a sweet ticket.
Show Adam Kaplan that you mean business. He's going to talk NFL with us right after this on WHB.